How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hello.
Hello, hello. Ground control to Major Tom.
Oh, Minor Tom. Am I right?
Minor Tom.
Just going to point out to you, Susie, that in the background of the Zoom, we're doing this on Zoom. Some people might not realise that. In the background, I have a folded sheet, and I would not normally have linen on show in any context, as you know. But
of course.
This is a sheet that was once a flat sheet for the bed, but now is becoming a tablecloth. So just to let you know, that's on its way to the kitchen.
So wait, you can just use a flat sheet as a tablecloth.
You can use a fitted sheet as a tablecloth. They can't get you. Can use a pillowcase if you've got a small table.
But does that mean that I'm going to be having dinner at your house and I might be, my plate might be on something that your ass was once on?
Please, my pyjamaed ass.
Thank God for that. That's why I wanted to check.
It's been cleaned. Yeah.
What, your bum?
No.
Okay, good to know.
Just good to know, isn't it? Flat sheets, they did it on Keeping Up with the Aristocrats this week, if you saw that programme.
What is that programme? And I feel like I'd like it.
It's like a fly-on-the-wall documentary about all these aristocrats who are trying to, like, make ends meet. You know, it's the same old story of...
Because all of their money is tied up in land.
Exactly. And so to hold on to the family estate, they sort of do various things. And one couple open a restaurant in their drawing room, and the chef is not satisfied with the padding on the table. So they end up getting some bed sheets down and putting them underneath the tablecloth.
Wow. There you go. See, I'm always learning.
Yeah, it's a good show.
That does sound good. Are they like lords and ladies?
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, yeah.
And because I always think, and Tom, do correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes when you watch those sorts of shows, their houses don't look clean enough. What do you think?
I think my mum will frequently say when watching a programme like that, oh, I bet that's collecting a lot of dust.
Yes.
Referring to something like a four-poster bed or some swaggy curtains.
Oh, yeah. My mum would say you'd want to hoover them curtains.
It would be a nightmare, actually. If you didn't have an army of staff to do it for you, what would you... Like, imagine cleaning a place like that. It would be like the Fourth Bridge. You'd never stop.
It'd be a full-time job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, it'd be very difficult to whisk around with your Henry.
And your feather flick.
And your feather flick.
That's what we call it in my family. Everyone has a feather duster.
But you have a feather flick.
And everyone calls it a feather flick. Just to get around the tops of... Paintings. I say paintings, photos. We've not got paintings in our house.
There's that beautiful soft focus photograph of you on the stairs.
Oh, my mum and dad's. Yeah, there is, where I've got long hair. Yeah, I look horrific. I don't know why they keep it up.
Youthful Suze, probably. How old? 16?
Yeah, about that.
Lovely photograph. It's lovely. Yes. We all like to laugh at her.
We all like to laugh. I feel like I should let everyone know that Tom's wearing a red today, which is quite rare.
I don't often
to
wear
see Tom
a red
in a red
jumper. Well, I've got this red jumper, and this was the successor to the brown jumper, which I asked Mum for a couple of Christmases ago. And unfortunately, the brown jumper, I put it not on a hot wash. This was featured on an Instagram reel I did a few weeks ago. Didn't put it on a hot wash, put it on a cool wash, and it still shrunk.
That is disappointing.
So it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. So yeah. But this one has been a good friend, and it matches your the colour of your wall in your.
And I thanked you for that immediately.
You're welcome. You're very, very welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Susie. We've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, haven't we just?
Well, two things happened this week that were major. Susie had a birthday. Major. But
major.
Also, Susie recorded her show. We're not allowed to talk about who for.
Because I did announce it and then I got told off for it.
Shh, no, you didn't. I don't remember that. But for somebody, it's been recorded for.
For a streaming service.
A streaming service, like a river. And it's brilliant. And it was the most wonderful, magical evening. And to come out and watch Susie's show, I can't tell you how I always say, when you say proud of someone, is that allowed? Because it's their work, not yours.
No, I like you to be proud of me, please. I'm doing it all for you, Tom.
But I was so proud of you, Suze. And it's such an amazing show. And the audience was so behind you every step of the way. They loved it. It was so great to see. And it was just like joke after joke after joke. It was relentless and it was fabulous. It was brilliant. Everybody had the time of their lives. Stood up at the end. It was great. So great.
It was an awful lot of fun. And also Tom came into my dressing room afterwards with some champagne and then opened it like I'd won the Grand Prix. And so that was very exciting.
I should have worn a cap like those,
like those driving boys.
Like those driving boys do. Pit crew. Yeah. Do they still have those girls? That sort of old fashioned thing of having like...
That's what I do on a Sunday. That's why I'm never around on a Sunday.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
I didn't recognise you with that hat on.
Yeah, I have a hat and a one-piece swimsuit.
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? That's nice.
Yeah, and I'll go to all the hot spots, you know, Basingstoke, Reading.
Are those Formula One tracks or you just go there?
I just go there in a bathing costume.
Oh, yeah, great. Well, it was so magical. It was great. It was a really fabulous time.
It was super fun. And then we had a little drink, which we haven't done together in a while.
No.
Which was fun.
It was so fun to just...
I was so pissed in that cab home.
You were. You didn't seem it, but we were all quite...
Did I not? I thought... When I got out of the cab, I thought, oh, I think that you thought I was pissed, but I don't care.
No.
I think that you would encourage it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But you had every right to be merry. It was very good. And should be...
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Mm. And I turned 36, you're right.
Yes.
And I love my 30s.
Mm, it's a good one.
I care less what people think, which is great. Mm. Still enough that I'm not a psychopath.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, I don't care what people think. Then there is something a bit terrifying about that. Because I think we should be slightly governed by just being in society. But I think 30s are great. I've really enjoyed mine so far.
Yeah, I think they're good. I think they're good. There was just a knock at the door. I think it's probably some sort of delivery for Alice because she loves online shopping.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, everything's online.
But they sometimes come at the worst possible moment, don't they?
Like when you're recording a podcast. Do they not know?
How can they not know? And then you get those annoying little slips. You have to go to a station. But I've realised that my local shop will take in some parcels sometimes.
Well, the one at the end of your road?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's good.
Oh, having a local shop. Having a local shop is... I don't know why I couldn't say that. It's funny to... An L and a sh suddenly trip me up.
Having a local shop
is so brilliant. I've never had it before and it's a lovely convenience.
Do you know the guy's name that runs it? Or woman. Women can have shops now as well.
Thank you. I could feel people at home being outraged at that. I know there is one guy... called Shri, who's really nice, but he's not always there. But I always behave as though I'm their favourite customer, and I don't know if I am, but I'm
sure you are.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think you are. Oh, there comes that man again with his friend in the bathing suit.
There they go. Just a packet of wheat crunchies. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, wheat crunchies. Bit of nostalgia.
Isn't it? I love that. I mean, I love those sort of crisps that you can get in there. You wouldn't buy them in the supermarket, but you might just sometimes fancy a packet of Frazzles.
What about a packet of Roysters? Do they do them?
What ones are those? Are those the beef ones?
The T-bone steak ones.
Mmm.
Let me tell you, in a sandwich with a load of butter and just them, Michelin star, I would say.
Michelin star. Chef's kiss, as people were doing maybe 18 months ago, but I feel like that fad has ended. People going...
Yes, people were saying chef's kiss, weren't they?
Doing the chef's kiss, and then they thought, in that way of like being trying to be clever, people then say chef's kiss.
Right. Whenever I think chef's kiss, I think of the chef in The Muppets.
Yes, me too. Yes, that's the main chef, the Swedish chef.
The Swedish chef, yeah. That's who we're thinking of going, mwah, 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 mwah. Right?
Yes.
Who's that guy?
Absolutely. Oh, I love the Muppets. But yeah, it's a great shop. And I do like a crisp sandwich, as you know. And I do I like a salt and vinegar. And when I was at school and I was too embarrassed to eat lunch at school because I was embarrassed about eating a sandwich that my parents had made me because I thought it would make me look
sad.
Sad, like a sad case.
Like a sad case. It's like a case full of the sads.
Oh, it's so cruel. Basically,
so cruel. A saddo.
Show that my parents love me. Like, yes, they made me a sandwich so I wouldn't go hungry in the day. But I was too embarrassed because I thought like some of the horrible children would laugh at me and be like, oh, look at him. He's not as grown up as us. He still has to like have his lunch made by his mum and dad.
So the other children would be getting canteen meals?
Yeah, they'd be go canteen. Just go canteen. Yeah, I'll just get some chips or something, put them in my blazer pocket, walk around eating them. And even though you weren't allowed to walk around eating, that was like, I don't care, put it in my blazer pocket. And I was going, they don't say nothing. That sort of behaviour.
That sort of thing.
And they'd throw chips and they'd have like a little sachet of ketchup that they'd like take a little bit of it for each chip. I didn't like ketchup.
Oh, like squeezing a bit on the chip as they go?
Mm.
Oh. That's how I eat a pork pie while standing in the fridge light around Christmas, because it's usually the only time that we have pork pies in. And I stand, I'm like lit by the, imagine it.
Mm.
She's three glasses of wine in. She's already had a roast dinner and probably some trifle. It's now about 8 o'clock. We're just getting ready for the Call the Midwife special. And she's in the light of the fridge.
Dazzling.
Daddy's brown sauce in one hand and a mini pork pie in the other. And for every bite, I get a little squeeze. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's wonderful, Sue. I think that's fabulous. Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, buffet food.
Just a buffet for one in front of the fridge.
What I've been prone to recently, in recent years, is cold roast potatoes. Have you ever had that from the fridge?
No. Oh, no, I think that's very strange.
Very strange, with a little bit of salt on. Very greasy. Terrible for you. Delicious. Love it. Love it. Even a cold Yorkshire pudding. We don't put the Yorkshire puddings in the fridge. They don't really keep. But if I find some on the side.
On the street.
On the street. Maybe in a bin. I will eat them. I love a Yorkshire pudding.
When you find out about microwaves, it's going to blow your mind.
That's true, it will. Yeah, I don't like to always microwave things, but I did microwave a meal yesterday and it was lovely.
You had a microwave meal?
Yeah. Do you do that?
Not that. No. No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Well, I don't either, but this one, I thought it was very nice.
Well, that's good. I'm pleased. I'm delighted for you. I might do it on tour, you know, if there's nowhere to eat nearby. And I'll ring the venue and say, do you have a microwave? It's on my rider. It's not. And I take it with me. My car is full of microwaves from all the tour shows.
It's your right to take it because it's on your rider. Yeah. Like I have endless fruit. No, I don't.
endless fruit.
I just say, oh, I'm so healthy. I just some fruit would be nice. And then I get there and I go, well, what did I ask for fruit?
Yeah, why did I ask for a banana and a local newspaper?
Yeah, why did
I don't care about this place.
I want some chips so I can put in my blazer pocket. Take out on stage.
So talk me through not wanting to eat a sandwich in case people thought you were a sad case.
I just felt really self-conscious about eating in front of the other kids because I thought they would laugh at me and be like, it would be a surefire sign of being like, oh, look at you.
Having to eat.
Having to eat. Yeah, it just sort of looked like a weakness because I wasn't able to sort of fend for myself. I felt like my secondary school, I don't know if yours was like this, I don't know if any of the listeners had this experience. As soon as you hit secondary school or high school, to any of our international listeners, you're expected to somehow behave like an adult. Like some kids seem to be like adults immediately. And if you sort of showed any childish proclivities, it was sort of scorned on, it was sort of looked down on.
But don't you remember that from like the first day of year seven, when you'd like look at someone in year 11 and you'd be like, that's a man with a beard.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for that, there was like, a boy in my year who was like taller than everybody else before everybody else, and he had a beard before everybody else, and he was called Graham. And looking back, I think he was just a man.
Graham went back to school.
Yeah, I think so. But he just wore a uniform and went back to year seven. But yeah, I mean, it is a scary place.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't want to go back.
No way.
No, thank you. When people are like, school's the best days of your life, be like, please no, please no.
No, 36. Thank you. Did your experience of school echo that a bit? Did you feel a bit self-conscious about it?
I was self-conscious all the time for lots of different reasons. It was very often people would tell me how flat-chested I was.
Oh my God.
Boys would constantly be saying that I've got no tits. That's like one of my overwhelming things at school, being like, boys being like, you've got no tits, and me being like, no, I guess not.
Oh, that's so awful.
If you're wondering what I look like now, you'll have to come to one of my car shows and you can see the puppies in real life. The small puppies, they're little sausage dogs.
We're all perfect.
But I remember being very embarrassed about the fact that I was a very late developer, I think, Tom. And so I looked like a child for quite a long time. And then lots of the girls in my, because I was a child.
That's why you look like one.
But you know when like lots of girls, like suddenly girls have like got boobs and a perm and they look like they're, you know, they look like they've got two kids.
Well, this is exactly how I felt with my school year, was that there suddenly, like there were these girls who like carried their bags around on their elbow, wore a Morgan top.
Yes, in the crease of their arm.
In the crease of their arm, exactly.
Would it be a Morgan bag?
It would be a Morgan bag or maybe a Shelley's bag, but a Morgan top would be worn at the weekends.
And, yeah, of course.
Or maybe French Connection later on. But it was very like you suddenly became a grown up. And and sort of behaved like with the sort of world weariness as though like, you're so tired from bringing up kids, even though like we were all like 12.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was like, oh my God, so much drama. Oh my God, I can't believe what it said to you. Like they were moaning about their husband when in fact they were just dating like, just going out with a boy in the year. But somehow they had like independent means. They had money and they had like all the trainers they could dream of, and
and loads of Jane Norman tops.
Loads of Jane Norman. So much Jane Norman.
Who is Jane Norman and what's she up to?
Where did she go? I want to speak to that Jane Norman.
Jane, if you're listening, do reach out. You know the PO box.
Please, Mrs. Norman, get in touch. Yes. But that all that sort of, so put into the mix of that, like me taking in like a ham salad sandwich that my dad had made, they'd be like, what?
Would it be in your briefcase?
Yeah.
Did you have a briefcase for the whole of school?
To be honest, I didn't. I had it later on. I had various school bags. And at one point, I just had a plastic bag because I thought that made me look like just sort of status. I thought, I'll just carry it around in a bag, doesn't matter. I had this kind of thing of like trying to seem as low status as possible so no one would pick on me.
Oh my God, I used to find the idea of carrying a plastic bag in school the most embarrassing thing in the world. So I would try and like shove as much as possible into my backpack because I'd be like, people can't know that we go to Sainsbury's or people can't know that we go to Tesco. Like they simply can't know that we buy our food from Tesco. It would be the most embarrassing thing in the world. Do you remember feeling like that?
That is exactly the same. It's very specific, very kind of convoluted way of thinking. But yes, exactly that. And I think I was carrying around my my Army and Navy bag. My mum worked in the Army and Navy, part of the House of Fraser.
Oh, well, that's like a department store.
But it was a battered old bag. And my mum would be like, why are you carrying that around?
Just get a rucksack.
Just get a rucksack. And I was like, no, I don't want a rucksack. And you could only carry a rucksack on one shoulder because if you carried it on two, which is the much better way of holding a rucksack.
Yeah, you were sad.
You were sad again.
Yeah.
So
I once had one of those backpacks that went across my chest.
Oh, a ruckle bag, yeah.
Yeah, like that. But again, that really accentuated the fact that I had, as Alex said, no tits. So I then immediately had to be like, Mum, I don't like the bag that I've got for the beginning of year eight. I need a different bag.
Oh, it's so harsh, isn't it?
It's horrid.
What a horrible, horrible world. Oh, I hope schools aren't like that now and that people are a bit more mindful, but I wonder.
I think they are getting better. It seems that they're... I certainly think being, like, queer isn't as much of a thing. I think it depends where you are, I'm sure.
Mm.
But I think, like, feeling... But there'll still be bullies, won't there? It'll just be about something else now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it was that sort of, I suppose, strange kind of feeling of being trapped in the middle of all these things that you couldn't be. I guess it's probably... I guess probably the gay thing had an impact on it for me.
Sure. Were people having sex? Not in front of you. Just like in the corridor, in the DT room.
I mean, probably. But again, it felt like because straight young people when I was at school, were able to be very open about it, and gays were absolutely not. But it seemed like the straight, my straight colleagues.
I think you calling them colleagues was part of the problem. Why is that boy in the Army and Navy bag, with the Army and Navy bag, eating a ham salad, calling us colleagues?
Hello. But I found that they seem to be like, yeah, according to their stories, like having sex, like when they went to their like holiday homes in the summer holidays, like all the time.
He goes to a different school.
Yeah, he goes to a different school. I met him at my nan's caravan. I met him at my nan's chalet in Camber Sands. Lots of like...
He's friends with my cousin.
He's friends with my cousin.
Lots of that. Lots of friends with cousins.
Is any of it true? I imagine they just had a very boring holiday at their nan's caravan park and then...
Oh my God, I've just had a memory of something that I haven't thought of in years. So there was a girl who went to a different school who I was friends with because of dancing, and she had an older brother, and I sort of decided the older brother was fit. I'm not sure if he was fit. I can't remember what he looks like, but I decided that he was fit, and she gave me like a picture of him, right? Like a passport photo. And I was so, like, you know, I was constantly deflecting and distracting from the fact that I was obviously like attracted to the girls. And so I was like, oh, I really have a thing for this guy. So, and then I told people that I knew him really well. And I had his picture in my wallet. And then one day we were in the HMV in Commercial Road. And one of the girls was that I was with was like, isn't that that boy that you're sort of dating?
Oh, no.
And he'd never met me. He was just my decoy. And I had to be like, yeah, we don't speak to each other, like, unless we're like just by ourselves. He gets really embarrassed. And I was like,
good thinking. Good quick that thinking, man. Though. Because it is that kind of thing of, we're kind of spies. That's how, if you look, think back, it's very North by Northwest. Covert espionage. Like, we, you know, be great at just sort of coming up with decoys and stuff. You do feel like you can't give anything away about yourself, and like it does feel like you're in a war film where you've like practiced, where you've like dyed your hair blonde, put it into plaits and buns, a plaited bun on each side, and learnt German, and then suddenly something lets you down.
I remember my mum picking me up from school, and like it wasn't like we had like a Honda Civic, or like it wasn't like we had like a bad car, but the idea of being picked up was like,
this is
why haven't you like driven to like four roads away, pick me up from a different school.
This is exactly what I'm talking about with the sandwiches. It was basically like our parents going, we love you, we want to make sure you're okay, wouldn't it be nice if we picked you up from school? To any rational person, it would be like, yes, that would be amazing, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Winter's evening, I would love to get into your heated car and sit there until I get home. But to us it was so unthinkable, like, oh my God.
I would prefer to freeze just in my blazer, because I haven't put a coat over the top of it, because I don't like how it looks.
Yeah, exactly like this. This is like the ham sandwich, the all this. It's very subtle, which you can't really explain easily to somebody who's not been in this position. But yes, I've never had a coat either. And then like mum was like, oh, I'll get you a nice coat. And I was like, no, I can't have a nice coat. We want to go to Orpington Market and buy a bomber jacket, which is £20 and is clearly made of plastic. And it's like got this horrible orange lining. And my parents like, I think my nan bought it for me. She's like, is this really what you want? It doesn't really cover. It's just, it doesn't cover your blazer even. It doesn't look right. No, that's what everybody's got. Bomber jackets.
Oh my God.
Wasn't it awful? We couldn't explain to our families, like, this is why I have to go to all these elaborate lengths. This is why. You don't understand. I'm a spy. You don't understand about my double life. I wish I could tell you. One day it'll all come out.
I'll write a book. When I've been dead for 60 years, the vault will be opened and you can all learn then.
You know, like all those people who worked at Bletchley Park, and then, you know, the women who worked there, and they weren't allowed to talk about it because of the Official Secrets Act, and they went back to like being not, well,
like housewives and
housewives
things.
And stuff. Like, not back. I'm sure they were very brilliant and good at them and enjoyed, maybe they enjoyed it as well.
I mean, I'm sure some went back and were like, oh, I actually prefer it back here, like darning my husband's socks. But I'm sure a lot of them was like, oh, I really liked it when I was beating the Nazis. It's just exhausting, isn't it, trying to keep up?
Yeah, and then people are like, why haven't you done your homework? Why did you fall asleep when you got in and not do your homework? And it's like, because...
The mental turmoil of being in this place every day drives me insane. And I'm not allowed to start drinking yet because I'm 12.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
As an adult, I will numb these feelings with booze and friendship.
All we had was crisp sandwiches.
All we've got is crisp sandwiches, and Tom can't eat his because his mum made it.
So I wouldn't eat all during the day, and then I'd get home, and then I'd make myself a crisp sandwich with a bag of crisps I bought from the local shop. And I'd get in and eat it in front of Ready Steady Cook, and my mum would be like, you're hungry, why didn't you eat your lunch? And I just wouldn't eat any lunch, I wouldn't have anything to drink all day.
Tom!
Go to the toilet all day either. It's terrible.
Because you don't like weeing in front of people.
Yeah, because I'm so scared of everyone. And yeah, so I just tried to just not exist, like, so unhealthy.
It's really unhealthy. No,
didn't have any water. Terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of like a strange, to try to turn myself into a little lizard in the desert that couldn't be noticed. Yeah, well, and then I went the other way. But yeah.
There was very much a backtrack eventually.
But it's a very difficult one to explain, isn't it? Because... if you've never been like that, like, what? Why were you like that? And if I spoke to people at the time, they're like, why? We never would have cared if you'd had a glass of water. And you're like, yeah, but you don't understand.
That's why your book's so brilliant. Because it really hones in on those things.
Specificities. Well, specificities. Maybe people can relate. Although probably people listening are going like, what are they talking about again?
I hate this podcast.
Oh, why do I listen to this?
Well, Tom, people have got in touch, you know.
What? Oh, my goodness. Who? How do they know? What do they say?
Tom, you wouldn't believe. I mean, the amount of people that have got in touch to let me know that I need to dry my bath mat. I feel like an absolute pig.
Oh, I'm glad we touched a nerve with that one. So you've been leaving your... just to recap, leaving your bath mat on the floor after it's been used.
After showering, yeah. And everyone's basically like... So, okay, his coroner. Like a coroner? I don't know. C-O-R-I-N-N-A. Corinna?
Corinna. Corinna? Yeah.
Corinna. Hello, like-minded friends. I absolutely adore the pod.
Not Corona. No.
Not Corona. No, very important. And I'm really sorry. You've probably heard that so much for the last 2 years. Hello, like-minded friends. I absolutely adore the pod. Thank you for bringing it back. I especially love the intro music. I didn't remember that we put some in. That's great. I have two bath mats on the go, one on the floor and one on the radiator. Standing on a dry, fluffy bath mat adds a bit of luxury to my shower routine. Much love to you both and an extra hug to Tom.
Oh, that's very nice. Oh, thank you. I assume that's in relation to my dad's recent passing rather than favouritism. Maybe she just prefers...
I don't know. It could be both.
She prefers my bath mat system. Maybe that's why.
Maybe because she's thinking, oh, he's got cleaner feet. I'll hug him.
He is using a bedsheet on the table, though.
Yes, you can't.
Can't trust him. But that's very interesting. But I find, Karina, that mine dries if I just put it on the radiator. It dries quite quickly.
Well, but we don't know what Karina's radiator in the bathroom... Has she got a heated towel around? What's the situation here?
I don't know how efficient it is. Or what? Maybe she's turned it down to save energy.
So, because you don't care about the environment, do you? So
shh, I that's...
He does, before you email in. Hello, beautiful and funny people. I'm hoping my email gets through on the VIP route. It did, Adam. Don't worry. I'm a big, big fan of you both. Love your TV tour programme. I think that's Comedy Boss, which was super fun. I've seen Tom live. I love this podcast. I love Susie's podcast. And I adored Tom's book. And I love Tom on Extra Size. So I'm basically a stalker. Can't believe this is the first time I felt obliged to write to you. And it's on bath mats. I'm 50 in a few weeks. Maybe it's an age thing. But back to my point. Susie, always, 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 always hang your shower mat over the shower or on a towel rail after use. And please wash it weekly. Thank you. Enough said. Bye, 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 bye.
That is... people have been very strident in their opinions about this, Susie.
Tom, I feel like... well, I feel like a stupid slag, if I'm honest. I feel like a silly old slag.
And I'm not surprised, actually, Susie. But, I mean, did Alice have opinions on this at the time?
No, but I mean, I'm about to do a clang, but we have separate bathrooms.
Oh.
So she's very much doing her own thing.
No wonder they got married. They've got the dream set up.
I mean, I think it's the secret to a happy marriage, separate toilets.
I think you're probably right, actually, having your own space. Yeah, it's nice.
Your own space. Okay, so we've got a great email here, Tom, that I feel like you're going to really get involved with. This is from Peter Theophilus Bevis, I think is his name. Hello. I have a friend that used to work for a company who made the training software for tram drivers. Clang. Basically, it's a video game where you drive a tram around and then it simulates situations that might occur if you were a real tram driver, e.g. a passenger running into the tram stop, a person crossing the road in front of the tram, the air conditioning breaks and a warning light appears on the dashboard of your tram. The game is used to test that you know the right thing to do in each scenario so that you can qualify to be a real tram driver. One day I phoned him and he was working on the societal collapse simulation in which the trainee is driving their tram through Nottingham and the fabric of society breaks down around them and they have to respond correctly. I was interested to learn that the official correct response for that is to simply stop the tram.
Oh, that's good to know, isn't it?
I mean, a full societal collapse. What do you think that would look like in your mind's eye?
I think people screaming, running, buildings on fire.
Yeah.
Things, people looting places.
Yes, probably looting. I don't know why, but I think rabid monkeys.
Yes.
Maybe
the zoos. Let free. Yeah, that would be part of it.
Yes, for sure. So it goes on. Peter's still with us. How do you feel about trams compared to other kinds of public transport? Have you ever ridden the trams in Nottingham? And if society suddenly broke down, riots flared up and people were throwing bricks while you were riding a tram through Nottingham, would you be satisfied if your tram driver just stopped their tram?
Well, not if I'd paid my fare.
Yeah, I would think, come on, at least get me to where I need to go.
Get me to my destination, please, Mr. or Ms.
Tram driver. Or Mrs., please.
Dame. Baroness. Whatever the title is. Please.
How do you feel about trams, Tom?
Well, I do like them. I think there is, you know, obviously Judy Garland did a wonderful song about them. I'd like to refer to them as trolleys as well. I think that's really important. The Manchester trolley, the Nottingham trolley. The one in Nottingham, if you come out the back of the theatre, the tram... the tram literally is basically there. Like, so if you walk out the stage door of the Nottingham... Whichever theatre it is.
Nottingham Playhouse?
Nottingham Playhouse, yeah. Basically, you are on a tram track, so it feels very... it's always got
very
that,
dicey.
Like, very dicey. But it's always got that slightly mournful, like, bell that it sounds, which
yes.
I always think is a little bit lackluster, and probably why they've never done a speed movie about trams.
They don't feature, do they? I wonder if Tom Cruise is aware of the tram network in Nottingham.
Oh, that would be exciting. I'd love to see that. Just a tram going along at its stately 30 miles an hour.
Maybe less.
Yeah, probably less on a bend.
Have you ever had to drive over a tram track? Because that's quite stressful.
Any of that? I hate that. I love crossing. Can't bear it. Oh, my God. Cannot. Will not bear it. No way.
Yeah, it does feel like it's about to be the end, doesn't it?
Yeah, can't bear it. Well, how do you feel about it?
About trams in general or driving over tram lines?
All of the above.
Trams, I like the one in Manchester because it takes you straight to the Salford Lowry.
Oh yeah, that's quite a good one, isn't it? You can't
That's
go
quite
beyond.
A good one.
Yeah.
It does make me feel a bit like I'm on the monorail in The Simpsons.
Oh yeah.
Monorail. You know that one. So that's something to enjoy. And I like sitting right near the front so I can pretend that I'm the driver. But now that I know that I'd have such a big role if society collapsed, maybe I don't want to be a tram driver. It feels quite stressful.
Stressful, yeah. I wonder where trams intersect with maybe a light railway. I suppose a tram goes on the roads, whereas a light railway tends to have its own.
Well, listen, you've got in touch with us about bath mats. Now do let us know about your feelings on trams.
Yes, and I would say municipal... inner city transport networks, I would like to hear.
Yeah, I'd like to hear. What's it like where you are? Is there a bus route? What bus are you using?
How do you pay for buses these days? Because I get quite overwhelmed. Do you have a special card? Can you just... I mean, most of the time, I think you can just use your bank card, can't you?
And if there's anyone that's listening that is a bus driver, is it encouraged in the bus driving community that you have to wave at each other when you go past another bus? Or is it just something that you like to do?
Oh, I wonder if it's part of that simulation they have to do. Yeah.
Yes.
Even in the collapse of all of society, tram and bus drivers are still giving a quick wave to each other.
That would be good to know.
Good to know, wouldn't it? I would like to know that as well. And do you worry about the top deck? I think I would.
Are we talking about my boobs again?
Susie, please. I told you, you're perfect.
Oh, no, I like the top deck.
I do.
Providing it's not too late. It sometimes feels like a party up there, and I don't like that sort of business.
Oh, I quite like a party on the night bus.
Of course you do, but you're better at chit-chat with people than I am.
Well, it's like the world is exactly as I am all the time when everybody's like that. Like suddenly it's like, you can talk to everybody and it's lovely. I'm there with my kebab and chips.
I'm there in my cozy.
Susie's there, still won't wear a coat. She thinks it's sad.
Tom's eating his ham sandwich.
Top
I've got
deck.
A chip.
91 bars. Oh, dreams. Where does it want? No, 191? Is that N47, I think I used to get at one point.
I got the 24, just in case anyone's interested, from Portsmouth. If you want to get in touch with us, please do. You always can. The email is hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. I'll repeat that. hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. And it's always great to catch up.
Always a treat.
Always great.
Thanks, everybody, for being here.
There's been a lot of love on the socials, it seems, for this podcast. And there's been people that have been leaving reviews, saying lovely things. There was one person that said, I expected better from you two, but they can get fucked.
People do expect a lot, don't they? They want structure. They want themes. Well, we haven't got one. And to be honest, we were here before any of those other podcasts that got structures and themes and listenership.
Yeah, we're very much, you know...
the original.
The original. We're the original podcast, yeah.
Podcast. So I'm not going to change it.
Neither am I. But we love you and thank you for listening. And we'll speak to you next week.
We can't wait. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.